Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Kingdom come. Last week we talked about his kingdom come and how Jesus taught us in the book of Matthew in the prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer. He said, in this manner pray, in this way pray. This is the way that I want you to pray, and this is the what that I want you to pray for. The way that I want you to pray is in reverence. He said, start out by praying, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We come to him respectfully. But then he tells us what to pray for. And the first things must remain first. And the first thing Jesus told us to pray for was not our daily bread. It wasn't even forgiveness. It wasn't any of those things. The first thing Jesus told us to pray was for the kingdom of God to come and for the will of God to be done. That's what he wants to be on the heart of every single believer, that the kingdom of God would come. That word come I shared last week also means to go. That the kingdom of God wouldn't just come and be in a building amongst a gathering on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday nights at 6:30, but that the kingdom of God would go out into the community. Jesus said in his last words, he said, go into all the world and make disciples, teaching and baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. He said, I want you to go. You see, the way that the kingdom of God comes to the earth is through you and through me. It's through us being willing vessels. And so how many of you want to see the kingdom of God come in Fort Payne? How many of you want to see the kingdom of God come in DeKalb County, in Scottsboro, in Huntsville, in Nashville, in Atlanta, all around America, all around the world? I want to see the kingdom of God invade the kingdoms of this world. Amen? Grab your Bible with me and hold it up and say this. Say, I am what his word says I am. I can do what his word says I can do. I can be who his word says I can be. So today, I'll be taught the word of God. I'll receive the word of God so that I can obey the word of God because I love his word. In Jesus' name, amen. Slap your spouse on the way down with your Bible. Just get out that aggression that you've been holding in all week. You've been wishing you could get them all week. And now, just nonchalantly, just smack them on the way down with that Bible. It's all right. It's the word of God. It'll help them, not hurt them. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read verses 31 through 33. And I'm really going to talk more into the verses of 25 through 33. But I just want to, for time's sake, read 31 through 33. And we're going to look at what Jesus is describing to us about the kingdom of God and how we should seek after the kingdom. So read with me in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 33. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you that your word gives us clear direction and guidance. Thank you that your word is living and it's powerful, God. And I pray that you would help us today to listen to your word and that it would fall on good soil, it would fall on good ground, God, that it would not fall by the wayside. It wouldn't fall amongst thorns, God. But if there be any thorns in our heart that would try to choke out the word, would you right now, by the Spirit of God, eliminate them? God, would you put some spiritual roundup on them? Would you grab them and yank them up by the root, God, so that the word of God can take deep effect in our lives? We surrender and yield ourselves. I ask that you would use me as a minister of your gospel today to speak in an anointed fashion. God, to speak through the utterance of the Spirit, not my words, but your words, not my will, but your will be done, so that the kingdom of God can come to the earth through us as your vessels. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So this portion of scripture that we just read, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 33, is an excerpt from what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. It's a time where Jesus went up on the mountain and he began to teach. And some people say there were thousands of people there as Jesus began to teach this sermon. It's Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. In it, we get the Beatitudes. In it, we get the Lord's Prayer. In it, we get this scripture that we just read. In it, we get scriptures where Jesus talks about murder. He talks about adultery. He talks about judge not lest ye be judged. He gives us a full spectrum of life revelation, okay? He didn't just preach just how to feel good, how to look good, how to be good. Jesus taught us how to do life, okay? And that's what I want to do today is anytime that I preach the gospel, I don't want to just tell you how to get self-help so you can feel good about yourself. I want to show you through the word of God how to live life because that's what Jesus did, amen? In fact, this is the longest recorded sermon that we have of Jesus's. This is the most, from start to finish, him talking and teaching people. It's the longest sermon that we have. And I love it because it gives us that practical life revelation regarding how we should live our lives in response to Jesus Christ. But in verses 25 through 34, out of this three-chapter segment, Jesus speaks on the topic of worry. 25 through 34, Jesus is hammering home, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. In fact, if you study the Sermon on the Mount, you'll find out that other than the Lord's Prayer, this is the topic he spends the most time on. There's 11 or 12 verses on the Lord's Prayer, and there's 10 verses on worry. The other ones never go more than 5 or 6. Even the Beatitudes is only 8 verses long. Jesus spoke the most about prayer, and secondly, he spoke about do not worry. Why? Because each and every one of us are constantly facing a battle of worry on the inside. Even the strongest Christian, even the people that have been walking with God the longest, there's always going to be this temptation to be anxious about something, to worry about something, to let that little thing just mess with you in the back of your mind and keep you from doing what God has called you to do. But Jesus also talked about not worrying. You know why? Because Jesus came to establish a kingdom. He's teaching us. He taught us earlier in chapter 6, earlier about the model prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's what he wants to see happen. But he is showing us, listen, worry has no place in the kingdom. The worry cannot exist in the kingdom of God. It's not the way he set it up. It's not the way that he wants it to happen. You know why? Because to worry is to doubt that the king can handle it. To worry is to doubt that the king can handle. When you give in to worry, what you are saying is, I believe more in the fact that something could go wrong than he can do something right. So when you worry, you're doubting the sovereignty of God. You're doubting the power of God. You are allowing your trouble, your situation, your circumstance, your everything that's going on in the world, everything that you're battling through in your mind, you are essentially saying, I'm making worry king instead of making Jesus king. So to worry is to doubt that the king can handle it. It's to doubt that he's able. It's to doubt that he's willing. You see, sometimes we think he's able, but we don't truly believe that he's willing. We think, oh yeah, God can save people. Oh yeah, God can deliver people from drugs. God can deliver people from alcohol. God can deliver people from pornography. He can do this, he can do that, but not for me. I'm too far gone. Listen, if you're sitting here today, you're not too far gone. The hand of God, the arm of God is not too short that he can't reach you. The ear of God is not too dull that he cannot hear you. He will reach down into that pit. All you have to do is say, your kingdom come and your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. I repent because I believe your kingdom is at hand. And he will reach down. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined to me. He heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the miry clay. You know where he set my feet? On a firm foundation. He put me on the rock. So we shouldn't doubt that he is not just able, but he's willing. One of my favorite stories in all the New Testament, there's a leper that came to Jesus and he said, if you are willing, would you cleanse me? You know what Jesus said? I am willing, be cleansed. I feel like that's a word for somebody today. He's not just able to cleanse you, he's willing to cleanse you. He's not just able to heal you, he's willing to heal you. He's not just able to help you, he's willing to help you. And all you have to do is say, God, I believe and I trust. I'm not going to give in to worry. I'm not going to give in to doubt. I'm not going to give in to fear. I'm going to trust that you're a king who's able to handle everything that comes my way. To worry is to put more stock in your situation than you do in his faithfulness. It's to say, yeah, I know he should be king, but I believe that this is greater than he is. Let me tell you, nothing's greater than he is. No matter what you think, no matter what you say. So think about this. If you have full confidence in your Father and truly believe that He is more than able to protect you, provide for you, direct you, and perfect you, then why would you worry? If we worry, it's because somewhere we've lost confidence in God. We've lost trust in God. We've lost assurance in God. So to worry is to doubt His sovereignty. The word worry means to fear or to be anxious. It is to give more trust to your problem than it is to give to your King. But let me tell you today, there is nothing, absolutely nothing that He cannot handle. There is nothing, nothing He can't do, nothing He can't heal, nothing He can't fix, nothing He can't deliver you from, nothing that He can't lead you into. Maybe you've thought, my dreams are dead, they're gone, there's no way I'm going to make it. I thought one day that I'd be used by God, but here I am, I'm not anymore. Listen, it's not too late, it's not too far gone. Don't give into that worry, don't give into that anxiety, don't give into that fear. Realize I'm going to put my trust in the King of Kings. I'm going to put my trust in the Lord of Lords, the one that we sang about earlier, that there's power in Him. Listen, sometimes we forget that He holds all power. There is no power unless that He is there, right? He holds all power. Let me tell you today, there's no bill too large that He can't help you pay for it. There's no sickness too strong that He can't heal you. There's no bond too tight that He can't deliver you. There's no situation too far gone. Your son or your daughter that you've been praying for and hoping would come back, they're not too far gone. They're not too far gone. You keep praying. You keep believing. Don't let worry creep in. Don't let doubt creep in. Those thoughts, those voices that are in the back of your head saying they'll never come back to God. Those thoughts that are saying they're going to die in their sin. Don't give into it. Don't worry. Put more trust in God than you do that worry. Put more trust and more hope in the confidence that your King is able to do it. Listen, the same God that split the Red Sea and shut the mouth of lions and turned water into wine is still seated on the throne, and He's still King in His kingdom. So if you're in His kingdom, remind yourself of what your God can do. I love one of my favorite songs. The pre-chorus to the song says, speaking to God, I remind myself of all that you've done. You know what you need to do this week sometime? You need to start reminding yourself of everything God has done in your life. You need to start reminding yourself. The book of Psalms says, feed on His faithfulness. If you're wondering, will He be faithful? Remind yourself of the times He was faithful. Will He be true? Remind yourselves of the time He was true. Is He strong enough? Remind yourself of the times He was strong enough. Where you play it over and over again. Feed on His faithfulness. And as you feed on His faithfulness, you get built up with faith to believe He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all I could ever ask or think, according to the power that's at work in me. No power in hell can overtake or overcome the force that is our God. Right. Amen? Jesus did not say, hey, guys, consider not worrying. Okay? He didn't say, pray about not worrying. He didn't say, think through and decide whether you're going to worry or not. He simply said in verse 25, therefore I say to you, don't worry about your life. Think about this for a second. Your life encompasses everything that you do. So Jesus didn't give us a compartmentalized breakdown of what we should worry about and not worry about. He didn't say, hey, don't worry about money. He didn't say, hey, don't worry about your health. He said, hey, don't worry. Don't worry about politics. Don't worry about the condition of the world. He said, don't worry about your life because your life encompasses everything that you do. So basically, he was saying, don't worry, period, at all, about anything. Don't worry about money. Don't worry about politics. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about that, because to worry is to doubt. To worry is to put more trust in what's going on around you than the King that is meant to be residing within you. He said, don't worry. There's no reason to let doubt come in. None whatsoever. There's no reason to think that God can't handle it. Whatever comes up in your life. In fact, when Jesus said in verse 25, I say to you, do not worry. That word say is the word command. If you translate it in the Greek, literally what Jesus was saying to them is, I command you, do not worry. I instruct you, do not worry. I am telling you, don't worry. You see, a command is something that is meant to be followed. Commands are not meant to be optional. Right? I know Pastor Lauren served in the military. I'm sure there are others here that did so, and I thank you for your service. But in the military, commands are not optional, right? You don't get the option to go, I'd rather not. I'd rather stay in bed today. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity, but I'm going to go, you know, do this. No, commands in the kingdom of God are also not optional. It doesn't mean that he will make us do it, but if you want to be a part of the kingdom, you signed up to be obedient. You signed up to say, you're my king, not just my friend. You're my Lord. You're my God. I will do whatever it is that you said. So Jesus has every right to command my life. Why? Because I've given him that right. I've chosen to say, I want you to command me. Because I realize when you command me and you have authority in my life is better. So Jesus said, I command you not to worry about your life. Worry will drive you to a pit of misery. You ever seen somebody that worries about everything? Are they happy? No. People that worry are never happy. People that are happy don't worry. So if you're unhappy, realize you're worrying about something. If you're worrying about something, realize it's stealing your happiness. Worry will make you miss out on a good life because worry always paints the worst picture possible. Right? I like to look at it this way. Worry will make a good opportunity look like certain failure. Something will come along in your life, an opportunity from God, an opportunity to advance, an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to get promoted. But in the back of your mind, these thoughts of worry will start coming and going, you're not going to do a good job at that. You're not going to be able to follow through. You don't have the education for that. You don't have the talents or the abilities to do that. You can't be a good father. You can't be a good mother. You can't be a good boss. You can't be a good employee. And worry will start to make a good opportunity look like a bad decision. And you'll end up missing out on the life that God has for you because you listen to that voice of worry. Worry will make a passing comment sound like a hate speech. Here's what I mean by that. Somebody says something to you in passing and you start worrying about it. Oh no, they think I'm doing a bad job. Oh no, they think I'm a bad mom. Oh no, they think I'm a bad employee. Oh, they can't stand me. They absolutely hate me. And you don't even know, they didn't even mean anything by that comment, but because of worry, it feeds that fear. Worry feeds that anxiety, but we're not called to feed on worry. We're called to feed on his faithfulness. Realize that anything that anybody says about you, good or bad, it doesn't matter if God thinks that you're great. It doesn't matter if God approves of you. So don't worry about what they say. Worry will make you sick. I've seen people that they have no reason at all to be sick within their body, but they're still sick. Why? Because they're worried. Worry is like drinking poison. And the problem is when you get in this cycle of worry, you just worry about everything. No matter what comes up, you just worry. What about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? Because the word worry means to be anxious for, to care for, or to take thought of. You might say, oh, I'm not worrying about it. I'm just thinking about it. Okay, right? Because we're so spiritual that we can justify everything. Oh, I'm not worrying about it. I'm taking it to prayer. Are you really praying about it? Or are you just stewing about it? Are you really? Because to pray is to entreat the Father. Are you really entreating the Father? Or are you just replaying it over and over again in your mind and wondering all the different possibilities of what if it plays out this way? What if they say that? So you might say, oh, I'm not worried. I'm just thinking it's just on my mind. I've just got a lot on my mind. No, you need to kick worry to the curb and start speaking the promises of God in your life. So Jesus is basically saying, because the word worry doesn't just mean anxious, doesn't just mean fearful. It means to take thought of. To take thought of. And that's right. We got to take those thoughts captive. When those thoughts of worry come, you say, I'm putting you in prison. You cannot run around in my mind anymore. You are going to be cast down in the name of Jesus. So Jesus is saying, don't burden your mind with the what ifs and the why nots. We're called to set our minds on things above. You might say, well, what about the bills? God promises to provide. You might say, what about the condition of the nation? God promises that in the last days, he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Old men are going to dream dreams. Young men are going to see visions. Listen, we are on the brink of the greatest outpouring and the greatest move of God that we've ever seen. So don't worry about what's to come in the nation. Look forward to what's to come. Because he who puts his hand to the plow and looks backward didn't fit for the kingdom. Don't look back at, oh man, it was better in the 90s. It was better in the 80s when all the kids didn't have cell phones and video games. No, you have a responsibility to teach your children how to seek God, how to invite the kingdom of God into their life. Don't look back at, I wish they'd grow up the way that I grew up. Teach them. If you want them to grow up the way you grew up, then teach them the word of God. Teach them how to be hard workers. Teach them how to love. Don't expect the world to raise them. Don't expect the TV to raise them and then wonder why they're so bad. You do it. You might wonder, what about this? What about that? What you need to do is keep teaching your children about Jesus. Keep bringing them to church. Keep welcoming the kingdom of God in your home. Don't just expect the church to raise them. Listen, I've said this and said this. I'm going to continue to say it. Church is a substitute, is not a substitute for you teaching your children. Church is a supplement to you teaching your children. We're here to help your children get closer to God, not raise them for you. We're here to equip you to raise your children in a godly manner. So keep getting them in the house of the God, but also keep inviting God into your house. Don't let Sundays and Wednesdays be the only time your children hear worship music. Don't let Sundays and Wednesdays be the only time that your children see you worshiping. Okay? Because so often we're like, why don't they worship God? Why aren't they excited about God? Why don't they want to, you know, learn scripture? Do they ever see you reading your Bible? Do they ever see you praying? Do they ever see you worshiping? Do they ever see you studying and growing and seeking God within your home? You have to model those things to them. Amen? Keep doing it. And I encourage you with this. Don't let the enemy steal your joy anymore. Because when you worry, you're signing away your joy to the enemy. You're just forfeiting it. He's not stealing it. You're giving it to him. Just, here you go. You can have it because I'm going to give in to the worry that you're feeding me. Don't let worry waste space in your heart and mind. Let faith and joy take the place of worry and doubt. Maybe you just need somebody to tell you today, you don't have to worry anymore. That's what I'm telling you. You don't have to worry anymore. Why? Because God is able. Because God is faithful. Because you can put your trust and your hope in him. Listen, Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave. Why is it that Christians only believe that 1 week out of the year? Easter week. He's alive. Hallelujah. He died on the cross. Guess what? He died and he rose 2,000 years ago and he's still seated at the right hand of the Father. He's still overcome death, hell, and the grave. He's still got those keys hanging on his side to death, hell, and the grave. I love what I heard a preacher say one time. The enemy's so defeated, he doesn't even have the keys to his own home. Think about it. Jesus has the keys to hell. The devil don't even have the keys to his own house. Listen, if you don't even have the keys to your own house, you're whipped, right? The devil is nothing but whipped, amen? So I love what the scripture we looked at last week in the book of Romans chapter 14, verse 17. It says, the kingdom of God isn't eating and drinking, but it's righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. So let me ask you, why would you worry when you are righteous? Because to be righteous is to be acceptable to God. Why would you worry if you're accepted by God? Why would you worry whether or not your coworkers will accept you? Why would you worry whether or not your friends will accept you? Because if you are righteous, you're accepted by God. That's all that matters. And so if you're accepted by him, why would you worry if other people are going to accept you? Okay, why would you worry when you have the joy of the Lord? Why would you let anything else come in and take the place that his joy wants to possess within your heart? Why would you worry when you have peace? Why would you worry when the Holy Ghost is leading and guiding you through life? So here's what you need to do. Live in the kingdom and allow the kingdom to live in you. Pastor Bonnie sent me this scripture this week and I absolutely love it. Luke 17, 20 and 21. Now when Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, they were asking him, Jesus, when's the kingdom going to come? You know why? Because they had a skewed perspective of what the kingdom actually was. They didn't understand that the kingdom of God was righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. They thought the kingdom looked like somebody sitting on a throne in a palace and making rules. So they didn't have an understanding of what the kingdom was. They asked him, when will it come? He answered and said, the kingdom of God doesn't come with or by observation. He said, nor will they say, see here, see there, for indeed, The kingdom of God is within you.
Amen.
The kingdom of God is within you. It doesn't just come to you, it comes through you. That's what I want you to get today. The kingdom of God isn't just for you to come and experience on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. The kingdom of God is meant to flow through you in Foodland tomorrow afternoon. It's meant to flow through you when you clock into work tomorrow morning. It's meant to flow through you when you're sitting with your child in their room and you're teaching them and you're speaking into their life. The kingdom of God isn't around you, it's within you. It's not something that you experience, it's something that you give. It's something that you walk in, that you live in. I want you to know today, you are a carrier of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
We've heard enough about how contagious COVID-19 is. If I hear the word coronavirus one more time, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm so tired of hearing it, right? But I'll tell you what else is contagious, the kingdom of God. It's a contagious kingdom. It's infectious, it's transforming, and it's powerful. And here's what we need. We need carriers of the kingdom of God, men and women who will be unashamed and will answer like Isaiah. When Isaiah was in the temple before the Lord and the Lord showed himself to him, and God begins to say, he begins to speak to the creatures in heaven, and he begins to say, who will go for us? Who are we going to send? And I love Isaiah. Like, he's the only one there, right? But he's still like, me. Send me. Here I am. Send me. And if you want to be a carrier of the kingdom, all you have to do is say, God, here I am. Send me. Send me into my job. Send me into the grocery store. Send me into the workforce. Send me into my school. Send me into my community to make a difference. I want to be a carrier of the kingdom. I'll be used by you, God. I'll preach the gospel. I'll serve in the nursery. I'll love on my neighborhood. I will mentor a young man or a young woman that doesn't have a father, doesn't have a mother, that needs to be taught, that needs to be instructed in righteousness. I'll do it, God. I'll bring your kingdom everywhere that I go. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen? In my home, in my workplace, in my community. Because the kingdom of God isn't just around you. The kingdom of God is within you.
Amen.
That's why through prayer, I want to talk about a few things really quick. We've decided to add some things to the Wellfort Pain, and I'm so excited to announce these things to you today. I'm kind of weaving announcements in with a sermon today because they tie in to talking about the kingdom of God coming to earth. Through prayer, I feel like the Lord has led me and decided that it's time to start nights of worship on Sunday evenings, and it's going to be every other month starting in the month of May. Every third Sunday, every other month. So it will be May, July, September, and November. We will have a night of worship on Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. where we're going to come and all we're going to do is worship God. We're going to give him what he deserves, what he longs for. The book of John chapter 4 says that the Father is seeking people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And I believe that it's time to say, God, through worship, through these times, we want to see your kingdom come and invade this earth. It's a great time to invite people. Say, hey, come get ministered to. Hey, come get in the presence of God. Hey, come get in the kingdom. Hey, come find the Lord. Come experience the Lord. So on the third Sunday of every other month, we're going to begin having nights of worship. And the reason we're doing the third Sunday is Scottsboro has one on the first Sunday. So that if you want more of the kingdom, you want more of the presence, you can go there on the first Sunday of the month. Then you can come here on the third Sunday of the month. And we're just going to worship God till we can't worship him anymore. We're going to love on him. It's not about how many people show up. It's about just getting in the presence of God. The second thing that we're going to do that I'm super excited about is we're going to start our 12 bushels food distribution. And I'm super excited about this. We're going to start feeding our community every single month. People are going to have the opportunity to drive through this parking lot and get a week's worth of groceries for their family. And I cannot wait to see how we get to minister and love on our community. It's not about what we can do. It's not about putting ourselves out there. It's about how do we serve our community? How do we love our community? How do we give to our community? And that's going to be on the third Thursday of every month. That'll be May 13th will be our first one from 5 to 7 p.m. If you would like to sign up to volunteer that night, we'll have a sign-up sheet next Sunday ready for you. And we also have some posters that we're going to ask you to start putting out, getting the word out. Because anybody, and listen, we're not going to judge if they come through in an old clunker or they come through in a Mercedes. We're not going to judge them. We are just here to love on people, to minister to people, to give the kingdom of God to people. So I'm excited. Are you excited? Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? I'm excited to see those events bring the kingdom of God through us as a body. Listen, I'm not the only carrier of the kingdom. You're a carrier of the kingdom. When you put a box of groceries in somebody's back seat, do you realize that you can be praying over those groceries? You can be praying over those people. You can be saying, God, let them experience the kingdom of God. Let their life be changed. Let them be transformed by the renewing of their mind. And then you get to ask them, is there any way I can pray with you today? And when you pray, God, I ask that your kingdom would come and your will would be done in their life as it is in heaven. Just like you're doing here in our life. As we gather together and we worship, we're going to invite, let the kingdom of God come and let his will be done here in this place as it happens in heaven. Amen? I'm so excited about that. But we are called as kingdom carriers to be different. We shouldn't look like everybody else, talk like everybody else, act like everybody else. We're called to be different. And Jesus shows us that in verse 32 of Matthew chapter 6. He says, for after these things, the Gentiles seek. What is he doing? Jesus is drawing a line in the sand and saying, there's the way that the world acts and the way that I want you to act. There's a way that they go about their life and they seek after things, and there's things that I want you to seek after and I want you to be after. You see, Gentiles were non-Jews. They were not a part of God's chosen people. They were pagans. They were worldly people. And Jesus said, don't seek after the things that the Gentiles seek after. Don't do what the world does. Don't go about it the same way that they go about it. You see, we aren't called to seek the same things that they seek. We aren't called to worry the way that the world worries. We aren't called to doubt the way that the world doubts. We should have a different aiming point for our life. You see, the world aims for food and drink and clothing and houses and money and vehicles and clout and momentary pleasure, but that's not the things that we're called to seek after. In fact, if you remember in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, Paul says the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. And Jesus is saying here, the Gentiles seek after something to eat, something to drink, something to wear. They're looking for a temporal fix to a void that's inside of their heart. And everybody wants that void to be filled, but that void can only be filled by one thing, and that's the King sitting on the throne of your heart. You know what I've come to learn? Every time you make more money than you did yesterday, you hope you'll make more tomorrow because it doesn't scratch the itch. Every time you're like, oh, I finally got $10,000 in the savings account. Oh, I finally got this paid off. Oh, I finally got that. Guess what? There's always more tomorrow. There's always somebody that has more than you have, that's making more than you have, that possesses more than you possess. And it's this cycle of just saying, I want more, I want more, I want more, I want more, because you can never truly be full with money. You know what I've also come to realize? Even when you buy that boat, even when you buy that car, even when you buy that RV, it won't fill the void that's in your soul that can only be filled by the Creator. It's just one more thing to juggle in life. It can only be filled by Him taking up residence inside of you and sitting on the throne of your heart, making your body His temple. Remember what Paul taught? He said, do you not know? Have you not understood yet? Has it not entered your mind to realize that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? You are the place that He has decided to make His home on the earth. And you're trying to fill it with temporal things. It's not that you don't need things. Because listen what it says in verse 32. For after these things the Gentiles seek, your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things. It's not that there are things that you don't need. And it's not that God doesn't want you to have the things that you need. Because if you read earlier, Jesus begins to describe the sparrow. It doesn't plant, it doesn't reap, but it doesn't have need of anything. He says, look at the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor spin. Yet even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And then he says, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give to you? How much more? So look at the lilies. Look at the sparrows, right? It's not that he doesn't want you to have what you need. Listen, it's that he wants you to have more than what you need. What did he say? How much more? It's not that God doesn't want you to have a place to live and something to eat and something to drink and something to wear. It's that he wants you to have more. Because if you try to get it in your own strength, it will always seem like it's never enough. But if you allow him to provide it, it will be more. Why does God want you to have more? So that you can honor him with it and you can bless others by it. That's why he wants you to have more. Not just so you can stockpile it up. Not just so you can become, you know, where you've got everything and you possess everything and you've got all this money. No, he wants you to honor him with it and he wants you to bless others by it. Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. He isn't asking you to take a vow of poverty. He's asking you to trust him. He's asking you, will you allow him to provide for you? He's not saying, I don't want you to. In fact, the children of Israel, when they walked through the wilderness for 40 years, their clothes never wore out. Why? Because God was constantly renewing them. He was watching over them because they were his people. They were his children. He's asking you to stop seeking things and start seeking him. Because if you seek the things, you'll always come up short. Always come up lacking, always come up empty, always want more. But if you seek him, listen what he says. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Let's go back to talking about worry for a second, because the antidote to worry is seeking him.
There you go.
Every time you're tempted to worry, set your heart to seek the Lord. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we find the story where Judah is being attacked by multiple different armies. And there is a messenger that comes to the king by the name of Jehoshaphat, who was a great king. And he says, oh, king, the armies, they're coming. And they're not just coming, but they're basically on our back porch. They've already crossed the sea. They're ready to wage warfare. And the Bible says that Jehoshaphat feared and set his heart to seek the Lord. There is nothing wrong with being afraid. The question is, what do you do when you become afraid? We don't have to stay in fear. We don't have to give in to fear. We don't have to stay in worry. We don't have to give in to doubt. When that doubt and that worry comes, because listen, we live in a world that is going to present you with the opportunity to worry every single day. But your responsibility is to set your heart to seek him first. Because if you seek him first, you put your eyes on him, you set your heart on him, you allow him to feed you, you allow him to clothe you, you allow him to make you who he has called you to be, then the worry that the enemy and the world tries to throw your way won't take root in your life, because you are already rooted and grounded in the presence and the promises of God. Amen? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I love what Corrie ten Boom said. She said, is prayer your steering wheel or is it your spare tire? Here's what she meant by that. Pray about everything, right? Pray about everything. Allow your conversations with your Father to guide and direct your life, because he will show you what to do in every situation. Don't just run to God when things break down. Run to him before things break down so that you'll already know what to do when the breakdown happens. Or maybe he'll even stop the breakdown from ever even happening. He isn't just the God of Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. He isn't just the God of the mountain, and he isn't just the God of the valley. He's the God of every single second of every single day. And he's seated on the throne, and we have free access to his throne room 24/7. But how often we miss it. I love that old song that says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. You know why? All because we don't carry everything to God in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. Now, Jesus concludes this portion of the Sermon on the Mount, which has been dedicating to overcome worry, by saying this in verse 33. And this is a small word, but it's a huge word. Because what is the first word of verse 33? But. He said, your Father knows you need these things, but. Right? It's an interjection. It's a stop. And you need to learn how to have but God moments in your life where you say, yeah, this bill looks like I can't afford it, but God. Yeah, this medical report was bad, but God. Yeah, the situation with my child is difficult, but God. but I'm going to seek him first. Amen? So, but means on the other hand. So here's what Jesus is saying, is your Father knows you need these things, and the Gentiles seek after these things, but on the other hand, meaning instead of, do this. He's saying, replace your worrying with seeking. Every time you're tempted to worry, seek God. Every time that anxiety begins to creep up, seek God. Don't reach for the bottle. Don't reach for the pills. Don't go to your vices. Go straight to him. You know what? None of those things can get you out of where you are. That's why you keep going back to them. Because if they truly could, then you'd stop using them, right? But the reason you end up back at those vices is because that's what got you there to begin with, probably. But seek him. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. That word, see, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God. That word first in the Greek means at the beginning. You know, they say, you hear it said all the time, it's not in how you start, it's in how you finish. That sounds nice. That sounds great. It's very, very encouraging. Oh, no matter where you started, you can still end up great. But what you're doing really is when you finish strong is you're starting again.
There you go.
So you can say it's not in how you start, but really what you're doing is you're just restarting. You're starting over. You're having a fresh start, right? When you repent, when you get on your knees and you say, God, change me from who I was, you're not just finishing well, you're starting again. And Jesus is saying, at the beginning, start by seeking him. I want to encourage you, start your day with seeking God, not with the news. Goodness, if you start your day with the news, no wonder you worry. No wonder you're mad and frustrated all the time. If you start your day with the news, don't start your day with the weather, because then, listen, if it's bad weather, right, you're probably going to be in a bad mood, right? Don't start your day with you know, something else, with Facebook, with something else. Start your day with him.
That's right.
That's what Jesus is saying. Seek ye first. At the beginning of every single day, seek him. Seek him through prayer. Seek him through worship. Seek him through praise. Seek him through meditation, by listening, by studying, and by reading his word, by sitting in his presence. Amen? Seek Jesus at the beginning. But here's what Jesus says. He said, seek ye first. At the beginning of your day, seek the kingdom. That word kingdom means reign. Here's what that means to me. At the beginning of your day, seek for him to reign in your life. Seek for him to have that place of authority in your life. Seek him and say, God, you can have dominion, you can have reign, you can have lordship, and you can have authority in my life. Start your day in submission to God and see how much authority it produces in your life. When you start your day by saying, God, I submit myself to you. I'm submitting myself to the teaching and the reading of your word. I'm submitting myself to listening to your voice and hearing what it is that you have to say about what I'm walking through and what I'm facing. When you submit yourself to him, it will change the way that you live your life. You know why? Because you have authority over sin, over temptation, over sickness, over worry, over doubt, over insecurity, over fear, and over the enemy. Because the book of James says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. Did you know that when you seek God first, what you're doing is submitting yourself to him? You're saying, God, I give you my day. I give you my life. Resist the devil. And the Bible says, after we submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You want to see the enemy flee seven ways? Start by submitting and seeking God. Seek the reign of God. Say, God, lead me. God, teach me. God, correct me. God, align me. God, strengthen me. Don't seek for fame or fortune. Don't seek after possession. Seek him. Let's not be like the Gentiles that seek this and seek that, but let's seek his righteousness. Let's seek relationship with him, because he promises us. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he says, in all these things, the things that everybody else is looking and hoping for, the things that everybody else is worrying about, he said, I'll give them to you. I'll add them to you. It's not that I don't want you to have what you need. It's that I want you to have me, and in me, you'll get everything that you need. That word added, he said, all these things will be added unto you. That word added means give more or increase. If you seek him, he will give you more than you could ever earn.
That's right.
People all ask me, all growing up, and still ask me this day, how did your dad provide for 12 children on a pastor's salary? People ask me, how can you afford to have 12 children? I'll tell you how. Because we have sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and we've never wanted for anything. I've never missed a meal. I've never missed a bill. I've never not had what I needed. You know why? Because if you seek his kingdom, he'll add everything that you need unto you. You don't have to worry about where's the money for the diapers going to come from? Where's the grocery money going to come from? Where's the rent money going to come from? Where are children? How are we going to get our children clothes for school? He said, if you seek first the kingdom of God and you seek his righteousness, all these things that everybody else is worrying about, everybody else is going after, I will add them unto you, because he promises if you seek him first, his kingdom, his righteousness, he says, I'll increase you. I'll provide for you. I'll give you more than you need. I can honestly say that I have more than I need. And I don't say that to brag on me. I say that to brag on him. I had a birthday a couple weeks ago. Pastor Madison says, what do you want for your birthday? I said, babe, I don't need anything, because I don't. He's given me everything that I need. He's given you everything that you need. Because the Bible says he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. If we don't have it, it ain't because he didn't give it. It's because we haven't received it. We haven't looked for it. We haven't been obedient to it. He's given you everything that you need. He means what he says. He will be faithful to add to you more and more. The question is not, will he add more? The question is, will you seek him? Not for the more. Will you seek him for him? Will you seek him for relationship? Is his kingdom more important than the things of this world? You know the best way to determine that? Look at your time. Because your time is the ultimate measure of value in your life. What do you dedicate the most time to? Is it seeking him? Because and I'm not just saying like, oh, well, I have to clock and go to work. In your working, are you seeking him? In your working, are you inviting his kingdom to come and his will be done? Will you make him the number one priority of your life? Will you seek him at all costs? Will you be like Paul said in the book of Philippians? He said, listen, I had all the accolades of a religious person in Jewish culture, and guess what? I counted it all to be loss. None of it matters. None of it is worth anything. He said, I count it all as rubbish. Why? That I might know him. That I could just seek him. Just so that I can know him. Listen, we're not called to chase blessings. Blessings are supposed to chase us. That's the problem. Is so many Christians are chasing blessings, and God's saying, no, if you'll chase me, the blessings will chase you. But so many people are, I want more money. I want more this. I want more that. And God's like over here like, hey, I'm over here. And if you follow me, all these things will be added unto you. I'll give you more. I'll increase you. I'll bless you because I know that your heart's in the right place. You see, God blesses those whose hearts are set on him, not on his blessings, not on his favor, but on him, knowing him, loving him, obeying him, growing in him, sharing him with those that are around him. We're called to seek him. I want to encourage you. I preached Wednesday night about choosing the good part, the difference between Mary and Martha. Martha became distracted, which distracted is the same word as worry. When Jesus says, do not worry, it says Martha became worried with many things. With serving. That word serving actually means ministry. Sometimes it's not even bad things that pull you away from seeking God. Sometimes it's good things that pull you away from seeking God. But he must remain the most important thing in your life. Choose the good part to sit at his feet, to listen to his teachings. Don't be distracted. Don't be pulled away. Fix your heart, not on his hand, but on his heart. Sometimes I have to question myself, am I seeking what's in his hand more than I'm seeking his heart? God said of David, he's a man after my own heart. But I see so many people that are seeking what God can give them instead of just seeking him for who he is. Right. We should seek his kingdom, his reign, and his righteousness above all things so that we can see his kingdom come and his will be done in our life as it is in heaven. Amen? Would you stand to your feet with me today? I want to encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit this week to eliminate worry from your life, because worry drives you places that you don't need to be, mentally, physically, emotionally. Don't let worry take that driving seat. Put prayer in the driving seat. Every time you start to worry, say, God, I surrender this worry to you. I'm going to fix my eyes on you. I'm not going to look at the problems. I'm not going to look at the situation. I'm not going to look at the things that are going wrong. I'm going to look at the only one that can make it right. Don't let worry drive your life. Let the Spirit of God direct you and lead you and guide you, because he will do so into his kingdom, into the more, into the increase. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me today? Father, we thank you that you've called us into your kingdom. Thank you that you have anointed us. You have chosen us, God. You have allowed us to become your sons and daughters. God, we don't have to be Gentiles on the outside anymore, but you've grafted us in. You've brought us close. You've brought us near, the book of Ephesians says, by the blood of Christ. And we just say thank you for that blood. And Lord, we don't want to waste the opportunity that you have given to us, but we choose today. We choose in every single moment. We want to seek first the kingdom of God. Lord, when something comes up, when an opportunity comes up, we would ask ourselves, how can we advance the kingdom through this? How can we get closer to God through this? How can we allow him to be a part of this situation and guide us and lead us? God, we don't want to be driven by worry, by doubt, and by fear, but we want to be driven by you and by your kingdom. We just say that we love you, and we pray as Jesus instructed us and told us to pray, your kingdom come. In Fort Payne, Alabama. Your kingdom come in DeKalb County. Your kingdom come in our homes and our lives on earth as it is in heaven. We love you today. We bless you today. We thank you that we get to be in your house, and we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Receive this blessing today. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he smile upon you. And may you not allow worry to drive you to fear, to sin, to insecurity, to doubt. But may you allow the Spirit of God to lead you into peace and joy and righteousness, which is the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, God bless you. We love you.